All right, today we're going to talk about the topic, A New Direction in Serving God. And we're going to be working from Acts 16, verses 6 to 15. And I'd like to start with a personal example to introduce the topic. Years ago, between 1969 and 1974, I was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary in, guess where, Dallas, Texas. If you want to know why I am a Dallas Cowboys fan, that's why. I lived there for 5 years. While I was there, I debated, should I prepare to be a pastor or should I prepare to teach in some kind of a Bible college? And it eventuated that I wound up deciding, well, I think I'll start in the pastoral ministry and see how things go from there. So I went to my first church, and while I was there, towards the end of my stay there, I became acquainted with this passage in Revelation 3, 7 to 8, which was written to the messenger or the angel of the church in Philadelphia, but I think carries application for us today. John was supposed to write to this angel or messenger. Remember, the word angel simply means messenger. He who is holy, talking about Jesus, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. I found this scripture to be very, very helpful. As a matter of fact, the Lord did shut the door for a ministry in that first church in Rexford, Kansas. And so we went on in life. We found ourselves variously. I was a youth pastor. I came back to the United States. That was in Australia. Came back to the United States. I sold sanitation supplies for a while. Pastored for a little bit. Did painting, not artist painting, but house painting, apartment painting for a while. And then ultimately moved to Huron, South Dakota. Taught Bible in a Christian school for 5 years. Then was a pastor in northwest Iowa, and then came here. So I have seen God open doors, and I've seen God shut doors. I guess if there's something I'd like to put across to you in a nutshell, it would be this. Keep serving Jesus while you search for the open door. Keep serving Jesus while you search for the open door. That really is true no matter how old or how young you are. If you're a junior high school student, a grade school student, you can still serve the Lord where you are. You're looking for ways to serve Him. Maybe sometimes the Lord closes doors and you can't go that through that door. You can't serve that way. But keep serving and find a door that you can. He opens up and you can go through. That's what our message is about today. The first part, Acts 16, verses 6 to 10, is about closed doors and an open door. We're going to find how that the Apostle Paul, with his teammate Silas and fellow teammate Timothy, encountered a strange set of closed doors. And God wasn't wanting them to serve there. And I'm sure they got baffled and perplexed. And later on, the guy who wrote this, Luke, joined them in one of the towns we'll mention. Let me just hearken back to my own personal experience. We were living in Iowa in a little town called Newell. That's about where it was. I can't bump some of those. We're actually between Fort Dodge and Storm Lake, if you can make that out on the map, closest to Storm Lake. And I was concluding my ministry there and looking for another place to serve. And one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that I wanted to change places was that my mother had recently become widowed. My dad died in 2000. So sometime not too long after that, I began looking for a different situation. And my mom at that time lived in a place in Kansas, that's a map of Kansas there, called Heston. She lived in Showalter Villa there. And it was part of my goal to locate somewhere in about an hour's drive from Heston, Kansas. And in the process, we discovered that there are some closed doors along the way, which I'll mention in just a few moments. In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 8, Luke writes about the closed doors that Paul and his team had. It was a baffling trip. In Acts 16, verse 6, it says, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region. We'll see a map here in just a moment. This is part of modern-day Turkey, or then the Asia Minor, the whole peninsula there that we call Turkey today. Those are two regions there. They passed through that region, having been forbidden by the Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Asia was not the Asia we're familiar with, but Asia Minor, a province, a Roman province in southwestern Turkey. The Holy Spirit would not let them tell people about Jesus there. They must have thought, this is crazy. We're supposed to tell people about Jesus. Why is the Holy Spirit shutting down this opportunity? How did the Holy Spirit do that? I do not know. Paul doesn't tell us, and Luke doesn't tell us. I think it's useless to speculate. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, which would be north of there, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So time and time again, they're trying to serve the Lord, but he's not letting them. What's going on here? Just give you a map there. That's modern-day Turkey, or part of it. There is the region of Galatia. There is the region of Phrygia. And there's Asia, where they were forbidden to speak. And we're going to find out that they came to Mysia, but the Lord was not letting them speak up in Bithynia. They were just trying, you know, where can we go here so we can take the good news about Jesus? These people don't know him. Now, if you know your church history, you know that this area here did get covered later on, just not now, not now. Now, verse 8 says, and passing by Mysia, they came down to the city of Troas, which is right on the Aegean Sea. And there, something happened. But we'll wait just a moment. What can we learn from this? Some observations. First of all, sometimes God shuts doors of ministry. For one reason or another, he shuts down something that you're doing. What does he use to shut down this door of ministry? He might have used a change in your circumstance. There are young married mothers in recent history who've had a ministry to children, but when they got their own children, they found that they had to give some of that up because your own children are very demanding. Maybe it's because you moved to a different area. Maybe it's because someone just isn't responding anymore. I don't know what it's going to be, but you'll find yourself, if you keep serving Jesus, you'll find yourself sooner or later, you'll find that God will shut down a ministry. This can be frustrating and perplexing. I can imagine that Paul and Silas, and perhaps to a lesser extent Timothy, because he's just kind of following along, were getting frustrated. Why won't God let us take the gospel to these people? We've done it before in this same general region, just farther west. Why is he stopping us now? My advice is don't give up. Keep trying to serve. That's what these guys did. They didn't say, well, you know, obviously God's not in this, we're going home. They didn't do that. They kept trying to serve. They kept trying to find an open door somewhere. Doors were closing all around them, and they didn't give up. Here's a maxim. You can't steer a parked car. That's been a very effective one that I heard many, many years ago. It's a cliche, but it's very true. You can turn the wheel all you want, but you're not going to go anywhere. A moving car can be steered. These guys were a moving car. They were a moving car. They kept going. We're going to find out where God's going to let us serve. They didn't park their car. They kept driving. Now, let me give you some closed doors that I experienced when I was in Iowa looking to come an hour away from where my mom lived in Heston. First of all, I investigated the Paul Meyer Baptist Church in Benton, Kansas. Anybody know where that is? A couple of you do. That didn't work out. I checked out Union Valley Bible Church. They were Union Valley Community Church then in Hutchinson, Kansas. I used to go to that church. very briefly, because when my folks moved from Newton to Hutchinson, I was off in Bible college at that time, but for a little bit of time I attended there, and when we came back from Australia, not then. When we left Rexford and moved to Hutchinson, stayed with my folks for a few months, attended that church then. They didn't seem to know who I was because I talked. My wife and I even met with one of their people on their church, their pastoral search committee. Didn't do any good. Somebody didn't like us, I guess. That door got closed. There's a little church called Liberty Baptist Church in Newton, Kansas. It's right on the Meridian Road. Some of you shop at the Meridian Grocery Store. It's just south of there a little ways on towards the bypass. Interestingly enough, and you might laugh at this, but they thought my music taste was too far out. So, anyway, enough said there. We tried contacting the Evangelical Free Church of America to see if we could do a church plant in Newton. That didn't work out. Finally decided I contacted a bunch of people who were part of the E-Free Church. Would they be interested in this? Yes, they would. Would they be interested in being part of a nucleus to do it? No, they wouldn't. End of story. We'd gotten back, Frank and Merrill, Merrill's not here today, but we even contacted the Kansas-Nebraska Convention of Southern Baptists. And I went to their headquarters and talked to the people in leadership there, and they put me in charge. They put me in contact with a guy who covers Wichita. And I called him by phone and said I was interested, and I told him I'm pastor of a Baptist church now. It's not a Southern Baptist, it's an independent Baptist. And I would like to investigate becoming part of the Southern Baptists and preaching in a Southern Baptist church. You know what he said? He said, you'll have to quit your church, come be part of one of our churches for a couple of years, and then we'll think about it. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, I'm not doing that, and I didn't. So we finally got to this church. Finally, God did open up a door. And let's talk about open doors in verses 9 to 10 of Acts chapter 16. By the way, I don't hold that guy any grudges. That's his business. And obviously the Lord had a reason for shutting the door there, so I accept that. A nighttime vision. Verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there was a man of Macedonia. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, someone from a European country has painted a mural. You probably can't see up there, but that's not English. I'm not even sure if it's Greek or if it's a little bit of Cyrillic. Some of those characters are the same. I can read the drama of something or other, which I would say would probably be dream or vision maybe. And I see on that second line down there, it looks to me like it's Macedonia. It's very, very hard to read. But anyhow, that is someone's rendition of this man from Macedonia appearing to Paul at nighttime saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So, they made a decision to travel. When he had seen the vision, immediately we. Now, it doesn't say they. It says we. This is the first time you get we in the book of Acts. That means for the first time the writer, Luke, has joined the team. He's a doctor, and he's part of Paul's team. But this is the first time he joins. He's been saying they did this, he did this, now it's we. So Paul, sometime in Troas, after the team has already got there, Luke comes from somewhere, we don't know where, but he joins them and he's part of the team. When he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we, the rest of the team, sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You need a little bit of map help here. There is Asia where they were. They were forbidden to go to Asia, but that's the general area. And they saw this Paul. Paul was actually, and I probably should have put that, he was actually right about there. That's where Troas is. And he saw this vision of this guy in Macedonia saying, come here to help us. That would be over in Greece, the northern part of Greece. That's where he got this vision. So they decided to go there. Make some observations here again. First of all, be alert for a new avenue of service. Be alert for a new avenue of service. When I came to this church, after a while, I found myself doing something that I had not planned on. In fact, at first, I didn't really even want to do it. Part of my job description, well, not really job description, because I'm a minister here, I'm also part of the Chase County Ministerial Association. And Jay Whitney over at the jail approached me in this building here. I was at a piano recital. One of his kids was playing the piano. And he knew I was the minister. He said, look, we need somebody to come here and visit these, or, you know, have a chapel service for these guys at jail. I'm getting requests. Well, through a variety of reasons, well, one of my concerns was whoever goes there, I want them to know how to tell these people about Jesus, how to get saved, okay? So, and some people couldn't do it. This is a ministry for guys. A woman couldn't do this. It has to be a guy. So for one reason or another, if they're going to have someone to speak to him, it had to be me. So I started doing that. I didn't look for that. That thing came looking for me. And where's Jake? I passed it on to Jake, whose mom is here today. Glad to have you here. And Jake is now doing that. And he's probably doing a better job than I am, to be honest. Doing a great job. Be alert for a new avenue of service. Here's a little caution. Don't necessarily expect a vision. Okay? Paul was an apostle and a prophet, and God spoke to him in unusual ways. I'm not an apostle, and I'm not a prophet. I have never had a vision. I don't expect to get a vision. God wants to send me one. That's his business. But I look for more subtle ways that God is telling me that he's opening doors or shutting doors. By the way, when the church in Rexford, Kansas gave me a no confidence, that wasn't very subtle. Okay? That didn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Pursue the open door until God shuts it. Pursue the open door until God shuts it. Some of you are sitting here, and sometime in the next year or two, maybe less, maybe 5 years, I don't know, God's going to open up a new door of service for you. I'm not a prophet. I'm just saying on the law of average, it's probably going to happen. And be alert for that new avenue. It might be something totally different from what you've been used to, but you'll find that God does it. Well, God did finally open up an open door of service for here, and as I've already told you, when we got here, it's already changed a little bit. One of the things was that jail ministry. And in fact, just not this last week, but the week before, I went to jail and visited a couple guys there. I'm still having a jail ministry. So that was something I hadn't really anticipated, but it did change. All right, verses 11 to 15, the second part of this message today, the process of salvation. This is fascinating. First of all, verses 11 to 13, human effort. A journey to Philippi. This team has gotten this message, come over to Macedonia and help us. So they're going to go across the waters, take a voyage to a journey to Philippi. They've got to go by sea to get there. So putting out to sea from Troas, that's where they were, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. That's an island. They must have had a favorable wind because it took them a day to get there. On the following day, they went to Neapolis. Again, they had a good wind, and they got to Neapolis. It covered quite a bit of territory without having a diesel-powered ship to sail in. They arrived in Philippi. From there, this would have been by Shanksmere, by foot. They walked to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia. It was a Roman colony, and we were staying in the city for some days. So the rest of chapter 16 is going to be about their time in this city of Philippi. Let's give you a map here. There's Troas, clear on the coast, the west coast of modern-day Turkey. That's where Paul got this vision. Their first stop was at Samothrace, that island there. And they made it in one day's journey to Neapolis, seaport on the coast of Macedonia. And then they walked up to Philippi, where the rest of chapter 16 takes place. Let's talk about their strategy. The team had a strategy. The day, on the Sabbath day, verse 13. The place, we went outside the gate to a riverside. The educated guess, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. Now that tells you a little bit about something. We don't get a lot of detail here, but a place of prayer, what they're looking for is a synagogue. But there must not have been a Jewish synagogue inside the city, and they must have asked around, where are some Jewish people who meet? And this is what they've... Well, if you go down by the river, outside of town about a mile and a half, you'll find a place where some Jewish people meet. The activity, we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. Now that tells you something. That tells you that there weren't enough men to have a quorum for a synagogue, because it takes 10 men for a minyan. That's a quorum for a synagogue. But that didn't stop these women. They were going ahead anyhow. They were praying. And I would guess that Paul was disappointed. I need a man to start this new church with. I need men, and I have women here. But that didn't stop them. They went down. They sat down. They began speaking to the women who had assembled there. And what happened? Some observations. Let's make some observations. When God opens a door, it still requires hard work and human effort to walk through it. Don't ever think that serving Jesus is easy. It's not. It's tough. And you have to do hard work, you have to be disciplined, and you have to work hard at it. And that's what these guys did. They had to pay the fare to get on a ship, take this voyage, then they had to walk miles and miles and miles, and they had to do some strategizing, and they had to do their work a plan. There's no excuse for being a lazy Christian. If you're serving the king, you better give the king your best. Give the king your best. Don't be a lazy Christian. Don't see how little you can do to serve Jesus. See how much you can do to serve Jesus. Work hard at serving him. Hard work is not enough. You need a strategy. And these guys had a strategy. We've talked about it before. Every place they went, they'd first try to find a Jewish synagogue. Why? Because those people would already be God-fearers. They'd already be halfway home. They'd believe in God. And a few, not many, but a few of the Jewish people would believe that Jesus was their Messiah. But usually most of the Gentiles would believe it. So they had a good target audience, and so they were using strategy. Work smarter, not harder. And so hard work's not enough. You need a good strategy. Plan your work and work your plan. A gal told me that years ago when I was doing house cleaning at Bethel Home for Aged in Newton, Kansas, a summer job. And she was an old Mennonite woman. She had this black cap on. She was a hard worker. I think her name was Sylvia. And I commented once how hard she worked. She says, "You got to plan your work and work your plan." Well, makes sense. All right. Divine preparation, verse 14. Now, that's supposed to represent the hand of God reaching down from above, manipulating things. Because believe me, if God doesn't manipulate things, you aren't going to succeed. Okay? Verse 14, the team's prospect, her name, Lydia. Where are you, Lydia? This is your name coming up here. Watch now, okay? A woman named Lydia. Okay? Can you read that up there? Huh? She spotted? Okay. Her hometown was the city of Thyatira. She was in a different town. Her hometown was in Asia. Her occupation, she was a seller of purple fabrics. This woman was a businesswoman. Her religion, guess what? She was already a worshiper of God, and she was one of these women assembled there listening. A little bit of help here. There's Macedonia, where Paul and his team had landed. There's Asia up there. I put it right where Thyatira is. A little better map here. There is Thyatira. I forgot to do these other places, but that is Pergamum. These are all cities from the book of Revelation. There's Sardis. I didn't put an arrow there. There's Philadelphia. There's Laodicea. There's Colossae. There's Ephesus and there's Smyrna. All those are they all got the gospel later on. And Thyatira did too, but that's where this lady was from. She'd moved all the way across the water up here to up to Macedonia. God's initiative. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And that's sort of an understatement. If the Lord doesn't open up someone's heart, they aren't going to respond. You understand that? Some observations here. Sometimes God's answers to prayer are remarkably different than ours. They had no thought of going over to Macedonia, but they did. That's where. And they didn't think that they're going to have just women respond, but they did. And they didn't have any idea that this woman would be such a key woman, but she was. God puts the right people in place to accomplish His plans. But we have to understand we're doing His work, not our work. So He'll have the right people there. When someone responds to Jesus, it is because God has worked in his heart or her heart. That's the only reason they respond. You can talk about Jesus till you're blue in the face. If God doesn't work on their heart, they won't respond. So that might clue you in how you pray when you tell people about Jesus. Pray that God will touch their hearts. Plan your work and work your plan. Good thing to do. Now let's talk about the human response in verse 15. By the way, that purple was because Lydia's a seller of purple. Lydia got baptized. She'd trusted in Jesus, and then she and her household had been baptized. She gives Paul and his team an invitation. She urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord," and she really was expecting a yes answer, since you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, this woman was very positive. She literally said, "Coming into my house, be staying." And that was a command, not a request. "Coming into my house, be staying." And so it's no wonder that the next verse, talking about the team's acceptance, says she prevailed upon us. She forced us to do it. Basically, she prevailed over us. All right. What am I trying to say? We are saved to serve. We are saved from our sins to serve Jesus. And we need to be doing that with all of our heart. So, in a nutshell, here's what we're trying to say. Keep serving Jesus while you search for the open door. God's going to shut some doors, but He's always going to have a door that's open for you to go through to serve Him. Keep serving Jesus where you are, however you can, but keep searching for that open door to serve Jesus. Can you do that? Keep serving Jesus while you search for the open door.